begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
I'm back.
We're all back and it's been such a long time. Welcome back to Discourse. I'm Morgan Nickel, still a big mouth dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve. Didn't even think about this bit beforehand.
No, it's been a long time. I think we're out of practice. It's going to be a rust bucket episode, probably.
No, sorry.
No, something briefly came to you and then it left again.
Yeah, I was going to work on something to do with the .com and going to the thing and asking a question, but I had nothing.
Oh, that's right. You went to the thing. I can probably open the thing where you've got the thing where you ask the question. I wonder if
I'm a journalist, Biarch.
Is my Chrome set up to play audio into the stream?
Hi, Kim. Dylan Reeve from Discourse Podcast.
Hi, Dylan.
I'm just curious, is there anything you're planning to do with the new Mega to prevent it being abused in the way the old Mega upload allegedly was?
Yeah. Well, here's the
thing.
You
can just stop it there.
And this is important for everyone to understand.
That was ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous, and he is ridiculous.
Now, it's interesting, actually, after the fact, though, there clearly are things they're doing to prevent it being at least used in the same way that the Mega upload was.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, they took out, you know, since we've been talking, they had the whole...
Mega search
thing, and obviously they've been doing other things to take down links that are being advertised publicly, allegedly with copyright content or not.
Allegedly.
Well, I guess if you post something on a site that's of that nature, which is what got them into so much trouble in the first place, then what got the previous business into the first place?
Yeah.
In trouble in the first place? Then, I don't think... I've written a post about it on one of my internet sites. I don't think Mega is going to do the same thing that Mega Upload was. I don't think... There's a lot of people who seem to think that it's just some sort of, you know, front for another attempt to do piracy, but I don't think Mega is. It doesn't seem like it's structured the right way for that.
Well, it's about as much of a front for piracy as Dropbox would be, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just not the right... The type of services they offer aren't right. The way Mega Upload worked, which was, you know, did benefit its owners if people put pirate content on there, is that it served up advertising alongside the download links, and it encouraged people to sign up for premium accounts to get faster and preferential downloads, which is not something that Mega Upload does.
Yeah.
That Mega does. Mega's money comes from the people who put the content on the service, not the people who download the content. So there's no benefit for them in having multiple people download or, you know, having lots of downloads.
Yeah. I guess this probably has a broader appeal to certain kinds of people. Mega does. but I don't see it making as much money as Mega Upload did, because they really did make money directly off copyright scoff laws. And
well, I think they've got a bigger interest in becoming some sort of distribution platform. And yeah, I think there's two aspects to that. One is, I think Mega is a fantastic idea for a distribution platform, because if you could go to your Mega account and hit a button, you know, go and browse a media library and say, I want to buy that, and just have it turn up in your account.
Yeah.
You know, just it's there on your Mega account, just for you to download whenever you want.
Yeah.
That would be great. But yeah, the problem is the way they're currently looking at funding content.
Mega Key
is a terrible idea.
Yeah. Now what Mega Key does is actually something that Nick Wood proposed doing in about 1998, which was replacing the advertising on other people's websites with your own advertising, and so that you can monetize other people's audiences, which is pretty... that's pretty shonky. That's pretty appalling behavior. We managed to talk Nick out of it. And I don't know. I don't think anyone's going to talk Kim.com out of it. But hopefully lawyers will convince him not to do it. Extremely sketchy to me.
He's clearly heard the criticism that people are making of it, because he said that, oh no, it's not everything. It's only going to be, you know, 10% of the ads served on these sites by these main ad providers, and
it's still theft,
and only on sites that are in the top, like the top 150 of Alexa or whatever.
It's still not right. That's really awesome. Unpleasant.
Keep doing that.
The mixer. The effects unit just turned itself on. That was really unpleasant. As bad as it may have been for you, I'm jacked right into it, and I'm going to jack off now.
Maybe that was what was causing the alleged audio faults that the avid podcast live listeners were complaining about.
Wow, that was so unpleasant. I should have put a mark on the recording. I will try and remember to remove that from the podcast. I probably won't.
And then you probably want to remove this bit where we're talking about the thing that you just removed.
No, I won't remove this bit. If this bit is in and that bit wasn't there, then just accept it as read that there was a horrible noise.
And it's not there now. And well, there's other horrible noises, but they're just...
It's just us talking. Yeah.
So the mega thing was weird. It was an incredibly surreal experience being there.
There was a performance, Tiki Tane and some other dude and a bunch of women.
Didn't you watch that? You saw the live stream, or at least the recording of it. So the first part of it started with a 3D face with a big Mocko on it.
Yeah.
You know, and that seemed, I was like, oh, there were a few of us audibly grimacing, if that makes sense.
Cringing,
audible cringes. Yep. At what seemed like it was going to be some horribly inappropriate, culturally inappropriate thing. But then there was a whole, kind of like a potpourri, I guess, and the performance by Tiki Tane. So obviously he had some advice that it wasn't terribly inappropriate. And then it all went weird. And then there was the FBI raid, which was actually the best bit of it the entire night, frankly.
Yeah, I didn't see that bit on the stream. I guess I'd must have left by that point already because it was so fucking dull.
It was pretty intense. Like you knew what was going on, but it came on quite suddenly.
Mm.
There was, you know, the video stream broke up, and I think everyone kind of guessed that something was happening.
Yeah,
but I don't think anyone kind of really guessed that it was going to be quite as full on as it was, with, you know, three or four guys abseiling down in full SWAT gear and a bunch of guys in, you know, suits running in, holding earpieces, and a helicopter circling really low, really tight circles overhead.
Yeah,
it's like, oh shit, it was very cool. But everything after that, the whole press conference Q&A thing went on too long. Or the whole
it was bullshit. It was
really
bullshit.
Inane questions, and unfortunately not really getting meaningful answers. But it was...
What does mega mean for women?
Now, that was an interesting question that was asked by the woman sitting right next to me. And I think what she was getting at was to do with the fact that there were lots of scantily clad women dancing around. I think it was something to do with that. But the answer was... very weird.
Yeah.
It'll be easy to use.
Yeah. I said a pink template.
Yeah, I said that would be great if it had a pink template. They should have said it'll have a pink template. Anyway.
What do you mean, and we're done? Kawana, is there a problem with the stream? I don't understand. Why? Anyway. I'm going to turn off the chat room because there's one person in it. Last year and probably the year before, every time we go on hiatus at Christmas, because I don't know, January doesn't feel like the right time to be doing this stuff. Neither does December or March, April, May, June, September, August, July.
August is all right.
April's terrible, 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 terrible time for podcasting. don't ever really feel like coming back. So usually take a long time to come back, and most of the audience disappears and then takes weeks to return. So they're usually, it's a bit overstating it to say vibrant, but they're usually the less ghost townish chat room is down to one wonderful person. And I'm still being distracted by them. It being the chat room, and them being apparently I'm re-pluralizing a single person.
So moving on.
This is almost as awkward as Seven Sharp.
I haven't seen tonight's. Sorry, the second
it was better.
Episode.
Tonight's was better.
I don't know. Regan Cunliffe from. Is it Regan Cunliffe?
From Throng.
Anyway, from Throng wrote an interesting piece about it, comparing it to a business decision in a store context, really. And that would be, you know, if you're a large brand and you have a product that's the number one product of its type in the market, and then you just withdraw it and replace it with another product that doesn't really serve the needs of the market, of the, you know, the people who are buying the first product, and isn't really entirely sure what market it does serve.
Yeah.
So I've described on the basis of that blog post, I described Seven Sharp as New Coke.
Right.
Because, it is weird. Like, Close-Up, you know, for all that was not awesome about Close-Up, it was still the highest rating current affairs show.
That's because it was after the highest rating news hour, not because it was particularly good. I think that the reason that Close-Up was killed is because people didn't particularly like it. Even though they continued to watch it, they didn't like it. And I think that they didn't like it because it was fucking soft and flabby. And Seven Sharp is softer.
It's like they've swung back the other way. They've gone from... Like, what they needed to do was you know, liven it up and make it a bit more interesting. Because, you know, for what it's worth, Campbell Live is... you know, they do their little fluff pieces and their funny driving dog stories, but they're also really good at the big stories. And I think Close-Up never quite... Well, Close-Up had sort of drifted away from both, really. It wasn't doing either particularly well.
Yeah.
It kind of needed to just freshen it up, but they've sort of swung quite violently in the other direction, doing, you know, weird, like in that first one with the Labour Party David's thing, was just painful to watch.
Yeah. And putting Ostapchuk in a poll as a joke.
But it was awful.
But Ostapchuk is such old news. I mean, it's not like that happened this week. That happened last year. So, I mean, what's the story? Why? So I think that what the message that they got from the sort of, it's hard to call it a failure, but the ailing Close-Up was that the host wasn't, you know, good enough, and that was obviously Mark Sainsbury. And what they've done is they've kind of changed the way it's hosted, and they've taken it from a single fatty with a big moustache being awkward and never quite apparently learning how to read. They've changed to three people kind of making awkward scripted banter and silly jokes.
But it's awkward scripted banter and then awkward unscripted banter, which is just, it's like watching, it's a lot like watching Breakfast TV.
Yeah, that's right. They've taken the Breakfast TV format and it doesn't bloody work.
Well, it doesn't even, it's awkward enough in breakfast time.
Yeah. Look what happened with Oliver Driver's breakfast show on TV3. And that went away pretty quickly. And look what they replaced it with, something serious. And that is doing quite well now. So why go with a floppy, failed breakfast format in prime time in the evening?
As ridiculous as it is, they should have kept Close-Up or at least the proper current affairs format in that position. And I'm going to say it. And you're going to think I'm crazy, but they should have put Paul Henry in front of it.
I think Paul Henry would be really good.
He is. He does that. He does that serious. When you take him out of the juvenile breakfast ha-ha environment.
He's sharp.
And put him in serious current affairs, he turns it on.
Yeah, he's sharp. And I think that the reason he did the stupid, the really stupid stuff that he did was because he was doing too many hours a week. But Seven Sharp's only all Close-Up. It's only 30 minutes.
Yeah, he's also. It's that, but he's just a clown. You know, he likes to play it up. But if you give him a serious thing to get his teeth into, he'll get his teeth into it, and he does it. He, like when he used to guest host Close-Up, he was by far the best host it had. To the extent that, you know, as I understand it, Sainsbury was uncomfortable with him guest hosting it and demanded that he not do it anymore.
Right.
At which point, Paul Henry went, "Fuck this shit.
Fuck this shit. I'm going to Australia."
That's my understanding of the concise version of what happened.
Yeah. So anyway, the what do they call them? The numbers, the viewership, the audience ratings. They seemed to be fractionally up on Close-Up on the opening night of Seven Sharp, but not significantly up. They were up from what was the there was a reality show like a Border Patrol or something was replacing it in the interim, reruns of Border Patrol.
They were
up on reruns of Border Patrol, but Border Patrol was doing something like double of what Campbell does, which is just appalls me.
Bear in mind that it does, like you say, it has the lead in, because when you think about it, the lead in from
One News, it's big, it's the big one.
One News is usually the highest rating.
Yep.
It's either going to be One News or Shortland Street most nights is the highest rating single thing on TV.
Yeah.
So on that particular night, on the Monday night, Shortland Street got 660,000 people. One News got 670,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, so they're both pretty high. Still, Seven Sharp only managed to keep 500,000 of those 660,000 viewers.
Yeah.
Off One News, although it's, you know, there's all sorts of. I don't have access to more details here because they'll tell you all sorts of other interesting facts about. You know, about how many people mint at various quarter hour points and stuff.
So anyway, tonight it was a bit less awkward. There were less gaps. I feel like last night, the first night, I feel like there was actually an audio problem, and I think that there actually still is an audio problem. It sounds a bit dead, a bit dull. They need to sweeten it somehow. I don't know, the fake banter thing, I don't think that's good. And another thing that I don't think is good is that they are all putting on the same personality, which is the good-humoured, friendly person. None of them are difficult or challenging, and I think that's a mistake. What's the point of banter between three people who are the same? I think that there should be four people, and I think that they're missing the fat, bald, big mouth market, and I think that they should definitely get a...
Where can we find one?
Yeah, preferably someone with a big, inappropriate beard.
That'd be great. That'd do really well on TV at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, and ideally that person would be able to do it just wearing like a T-shirt and boxers. That would be, and drink while doing it.
I would say that sounds like a recipe for success. You know, the other thing that frustrates me, it's disappointing. I watched it because I just saw one little screen grab when it was on. And I thought, they've put it in a different location. They've used, because the TVNZ has a really cool old building called the Charles Palmer Building, which is a couple of buildings over, and is a big old brick building, you know, from whenever that was built, 1920s or something.
Yeah.
It's got really cool old, you know, it's a bit like Dragon's Denny inside, and I thought that was what they were using to shoot it in, because I just saw the shots of the rear projection, but it's not. It's just in normal, you know, Studio 4 or whatever it is that does the news, and it's just the rear projection. So
that room, you say just, but that room is incredible.
Yeah, but they should take it out. They should put it somewhere else. They should make it an event, you know. They should do it special.
Yeah, I think they've put it over in the old Fair Go corner, right? The breakfast corner.
Yeah, probably.
That room, for people who've never been in that studio, it's amazing. It's full of robots. It's got things, hundreds of things dangling from the ceiling. The whole set sort of changes itself just through changing the light panels on things and what's projected on the screens behind them. And it's pretty great. It's a great room.
Mm.
Yeah.
Still standard def. There's no HD. There's no HD facilities at all in TVNZ Auckland.
Is that right?
No HD studio facility, not at all.
But aren't those cameras new robot cameras?
Yeah, but the cameras are probably still standard def. Even if they're HD, they're still doing standard def. They don't have standard def studio facilities at all.
That's ridiculous.
There's one HD studio in Avalon, which I don't even know if that belongs to TVNZ anymore.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the only HD studio that TVNZ owned.
That is ridiculous.
Where they do Lotto and where they used to do Good Morning.
So Lotto gets potentially a higher quality broadcast.
No, Lotto's still in standard def, but it has HD facilities. It can be HD if you switch the cameras into the right mode and switch the switching disc into the right mode.
Well, bloody hell. So do you think... Oh, no, we've got more stuff to talk... Maybe we won't even do any news at all. Let's just talk about stuff that...
Ramble.
Let's just talk about stuff that's happened recently. Another thing that happened while we were off air was Gareth Morgan and his plan to kill every New Zealander's cat. Personally, he's going to come around, he's going to throttle your cat to death and ideally pop its head right off.
I thought he was going to do it Rambo styles and just quickly, you know, sneak up behind it and just around with the knife.
Gareth Morgan will apparate out of a mud bank behind you, you know, regardless of where you're standing, and he will pull out his massive Bowie knife, and he'll draw it across your throat and the throat of your cat, and you will collapse in the mud and rain.
He's doing people as well, killing cat owners. Well, that just seems very reasonable.
Well, he wasn't.
There'll be no one to complain about the cat killing.
He didn't originally plan to kill people, but then all the crazy irrational cat fanciers who entirely misunderstood what he had said suggested to him that people were doing damage to New Zealand's native wildlife as well. So he decided to expand the program a little.
Have you seen Sam Morgan's amusing tweets on the issue?
How his dad owes him $30 and so on.
Yeah, says a few days ago, I have been out hunting kittens all morning, dad owes me $30.
Yeah.
And he also said, I think on the day the announcement came out, he said, my dad is in China. They eat cats in China. Not suggesting anything, just saying.
Yeah.
The thing is,
this is a complicated issue, but He is right that cats do terrible damage to our native wildlife, our native bird life in New Zealand. There is just no question that that's true. Now, there is a question as to whether removing cats will make a significant difference, because as well as killing bird life, cats kill stoats and weasels and rats and so on. And so, you know, who knows if removing one predator will be, you know, will be, you know, a magic bullet. But it's just, it's so clearly and obviously and self-evidently true that cats are an introduced predator brought into a country that had nothing even remotely like cats for any part of its natural history. And they decimate the areas which they're in, and that is pretty much everywhere. And I don't understand how anyone can argue with that. And he never said that he wanted to kill people's cats.
What he just said he wanted to stop people getting more cats.
No, he did not. He said that people should think carefully about whether they want to replace their cat when it eventually dies.
Right. Fair enough.
Which is totally reasonable.
I mean, it's interesting when you think about, you know, the controls we have on some other potentially troublesome animals.
Dogs are licensed.
Well, no, I mean, just in terms of, you know, some are outright banned for their likelihood to injure wildlife, but I don't think you can get
alligators.
Alligators can't get alligators. Yep. Honey badgers can't bring honey badgers in.
Can you imagine the damage that a honey badger would do? Because honey badgers don't care. They don't care
just,
at all.
Just wouldn't even care. No fucks to give.
None. Another person who I reckon doesn't have any fucks to give is Lance Armstrong.
Oh, just, I can't even be bothered, I don't think.
I don't really care about doping and cycling. And from what I understand, I mean, pretty much everyone was doing it when he was doing it. And so it probably was pretty much a level playing field. Aside from idiots, like, I mean, for instance, if there was a New Zealand cycling team, they'd be the clean idiots and they'd be last. Lance Armstrong's real problem was not the doping. Lance Armstrong's problem is he's a fucking asshole.
He is pathological, isn't he? Yeah. It was fucking amazing to watch. And it wasn't like 2.5. The whole thing was like 2.5 hours. Like he released
far too long.
He released a feature film of saying sorry without ever really saying sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, what a douche. Anyway, whatever. I don't give a shit. It's just cycling. I do remember when it first came out. I remember some people. Well, I'm not going to name any, but some people we know were like, "Oh no, clearly it's not true. Look, he always passes drug tests. This is just a have." Which is what, you know, he said. He put out that big letter about it saying, "This is unfair. I always pass my drug tests."
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you just lie and lie. He didn't really have a choice, but just lie and lie. It's like, you know, fuck you.
Yeah, lie and then threaten and then pay off and then lie some more.
Oh my God, and the suing and the fucking, and the slandering. Oh, yeah. Man, he's going to get fucking nailed. And some people say he was being contrite because he wants to get back into professional sports. Who the fuck is going to let him do that?
Well,
honestly, who'll sponsor him again?
I would. Discourse will give him $15.
$20, I'll tell you what.
He'll have to buy his own bike, though, and pay his own airfares to wherever he's... I heard that what he wants to do is mountain biking.
Yeah, well, he also got into Iron Man.
Right.
He had got into Iron Man.
Well, I mean, good for him. I think he should go and do that. I don't give a fuck about sports. So he should go and do that. And, you know, if he's going to be treated, he'll look like a hedgehog. They'll be doing so many blood tests on him. And if he can deal with that, then he can deal with that. Good for him. I'm sure that the randomized testing will somehow, it'll always come up with his name.
I don't even think it is randomized in some sports. I'm pretty sure it's just entirely.
Yeah. Everyone.
Across the board, everyone gets tested.
I imagine in cycling, everyone gets tested. All the winners in the Olympics get tested, but I think not all of the athletes get tested.
No, I saw it said somewhere that if you went for his 2005 tour win, if you went back to, if you went down the list to find the highest placed finisher who hadn't been involved in a drug scandal, you'd be giving it to the 20th place finisher.
Right. A New Zealander?
Sadly not. Maybe. No, I don't think we came that high. Yeah, I don't know. Fuck it. He's gonna get his ass sued off, though. Surely he's gonna be bankrupt by the end of this.
Yeah, yeah.
I would imagine.
Hard to feel much sympathy, isn't it? Sucked in. Baltimore Ravens I didn't even know that team existed, but apparently they won the
Super Bowl. So I watched the last quarter of the Super Bowl. I almost started to understand it.
I did not start to understand it.
I understand the basic intent of Super Bowl now, is you have to, although it seems ridiculous, you've got four tackles in which to move the ball 10 yards forward.
Right. And then
otherwise play turns over.
And then you get another four tackles?
Yeah, if you get 10 yards forward, your count resets.
Right, okay.
But
so it's a grind. It's a long grind then, is it?
Yeah, but beyond that, none of it makes any fucking sense to me. At some point, I was watching it at work while I was doing some other stuff, and someone came in and said, oh, can you come and look at this? And I said, oh, yeah, sure, I'll be along soon. It's nearly finished. There was a minute 55 left on the clock. I said, I'll be along in a few minutes. No. Like, she stayed in there and talked to me for a little while we were watching this. And, like, seriously, 10 minutes later, 5 seconds had gone. This game is fucked.
The commentators were talking about how the 49ers, who I understand are also an American Gridiron League team, they would regret the tactical misuse of one of their timeouts or something.
Yeah, there's that, and it's just bizarre. There's the timeouts, and there's the whole fucking giant team changeovers, and then they were shitting themselves because a quarterback scored a touchdown, and like he ran 15 yards to get his touchdown, which is
the furthest
any quarterback's run in a Super Bowl ever. Fuck, what sport is this? I don't understand.
We've got to export rugby to... Actually, Americans play rugby a lot and are still Olympic champions, but we've got to get them playing rugby.
They freak out. They don't understand it. It's too quick and too simple. You can't finish. You know, you can't eat your 600 chicken wings in the time it takes to play a game of rugby.
This is a live report on the current whereabouts of Jose Barbosa. He's just started Arma 2 Combined Operations. He's going to be playing some World War Z. No, what's it called? Day Z.
That's what I don't think we'll see him for a while. Then.
We're not going to see him for weeks, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, the Super Bowl was... Oh, man. It was. So the other thing that I learned about the Super Bowl, so I think it was the... Oh, I'm going to maybe forget the names now, but the... maybe the quarterback of the 49ers said something in the media in a TV interview a couple of days before the Super Bowl, something along the lines of, we don't think... there's no gays in the team, and if there are, they can get out. Something like that. This is the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
Which was obviously a big uproar. And then... I'm not sure exactly what party plays, but one of the basically like the head, you know, the highest profile player on the Baltimore Ravens stood trial, but was not convicted for a double murder.
Yeah,
like just it's a fucking bizarre sport.
They're really nice dudes.
However, the best thing that I know about, the only interesting thing I know about American football is there's a player named Chris Klew.
Yeah,
Klew.
Yeah.
He's on Twitter. His Twitter name is Chris Warcraft.
Right.
Because he's a big Warcraft player.
Right.
And he's awesome. His tweets are great. He's and all his you know public stuff is fucking awesome.
Frankly,
he's clearly an awesome guy who just happens to be a professional sport ball player.
I hope that he gets a lot of wickets.
I think he will get a lot of wickets and runs.
What was his name again?
Chris Klew. Chris Warcraft.
I don't know why I'm laughing. I'm really unhappy. I've managed to get myself caught up in a domain drop bidding war for a domain name I want for a little startup that I've started with a close friend.
I saw that you were publicly hoping for some domain name to expire.
It has expired, and now a bunch of people are bidding on it, and it's going up, man. It's going up and it's going up. It's not out of the range yet, but it's only been in bidding for one day, and so all the technical people, you know, they'll be saving their they won't be blowing their loads early, but the three or four or five people who are bidding so far have already got it up to $180. So I don't know.
I've never paid more than the normal amount of money for a domain name.
Yeah.
How does that work? How does it work that you're bidding on a domain name?
Bullshit. The whole industry is so corrupt. It's unbelievable. This domain drop thing. Our system in New Zealand with our domain name commissioner is it's the ideal way for it to work. And, you know, if a domain expires, you get it. You know, you grab it if you can, and you probably can because, you know, We don't have that many squatters in this country. But there's just this crazy thing where domains drop at, you know, this particular amount of time after they expire, and there's these different periods where, like, the original owner can still, you know, pay up and get it back, but for a higher fee than a normal, you know, whatever.
But isn't, so basically what's happening in that circumstance, though, is the registrar that sold them the domain name in the first place is not releasing it.
That's right. And when
it expires. They're basically just transferring the registration to themselves so they can on-sell it.
That's right.
Rather than allowing anyone else to register it.
That's right.
That's fucked.
Yep, it is fucked. Yeah.
Just change the name of your business.
No. I've got the CoNZ and I've got a .net, but I would quite like the .com.
I reckon if you get Flurgleblurg, Snignishnit, .com, no one will have that.
What's the spelling of that? And if someone heard it on a radio ad, would they be able to type it in first time every time?
So I listen to This American Life often, and at the end of This American Life, they list their sponsors, and one of their sponsors is Scion. What moves you? I do not know how to spell that fucking every time. Scion.com.
I bet it's S-I-O-N.
Shall we look? I've never looked before, but just remind me.
I think it should be P-S-I-O-N, but I bet it's S-I-O-N.
Well, P-S-I-O-N used to be the company that made these little portable handheld doodads.
Mm-hmm.
Scion.com? No, it's not. It's not. Sion.com. Maybe it's psion.com. Sion.com. Checking.
Yeah. This is good radio.
No, it's not. It's not that either. So I still don't know what the fuck it is. Anyway. Sion still makes portable handheld computers.
Novopay.
Yeah, okay. Tell me.
That's a story as well, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
Dead man tried to beat train. The man killed by a train in Christchurch last night has been named by police as Murray Bruce Miller, age 26. He died when he was struck by a train at Lincoln Road Crossing in Christchurch. He tried to run across the rails, even though the lights and bells were ringing.
Ding, 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 ding.
And he was clipped as he tried to cross. The barrier arm was even down, and he just went for it. He was drunk, is the thing. He was drunk and in control of legs. Mistake. And he will not live to make another, which is unfortunate. All of us have made mistakes. Most of us have not made mistakes with trains. Yeah.
That's fine. I don't even like being near trains.
No, they're big and they're heavy and they're loud. They're great in Japan, though, because there are barriers, so you can't get anywhere near the tracks, even in the station. Like, you'd see these stories in London and in the States and stuff of people getting tripped or intentionally shoved or accidentally pushed or jostled or suiciding even. In Japan, because they have such a suicide problem, I guess, they've just put up these really expensive barriers and just it's not really a thing anymore. You can't accidentally get jostled over the line. Which is nice. Someone I'd like to see jostled over the line is a man named Aaron Elmers, who I think we can pretty safely describe as a paedophile.
Oh, yeah?
A paedophile from Hastings or somewhere near, who pled guilty to, 60-something charges of having sex and child porn and all sorts of stuff against children as young as 18 months or something. Immediately before he was caught, he had offered to pay a man $500 for sexual gratification with his 18-month-old son.
Ugh.
$500 to rape a baby.
Ugh.
And that wasn't a sting operation. That father was also arrested and is facing charges related to the whole thing. Yep. Seriously.
For $500.
$500 for his little I don't know. Would you call it a baby or a toddler at 18 months?
Oh, it's a toddler.
Yep. In any case, it's certainly not consenting.
Jesus. Fuck, that's horrible. Oh.
It is absolutely appalling, and it happened right here in New Zealand. This guy was videoing himself raping children, and uploading them to his paedophile mates on the internet.
Great.
Yeah. Excellent.
So on the bright side, there is no bright side. But on the bright side, pretty easy to get a conviction because he had created his own video evidence. And I guess he knew that he had done that, and so he pled guilty. Now, hopefully, TV1 news, I can't remember what I was watching, tonight said that this was his first strike of the potential three strikes. Now, I'm hoping that it doesn't matter that this is his first strike and that the judge will absolutely hammer this dude, because I don't see that offending gets much worse than this.
He
didn't murder any babies, but he did the next worst thing that you can do to a baby.
Yeah, so just makes me feel...
Actually, I don't know if he ever raped any babies, but he was trying to arrange to get a baby for raping purposes when he was caught. As far as I know, he only raped children, not babies. But, I mean, I guess, you know, the horrible details might come out, but, you know, we can hope that they don't come out, but they might.
So now you've done this thing where... What the fuck do you follow that with, Morgan?
Yeah.
I want to talk about Karen and her $20.
Typing secret word will kill almost any app in Apple's OS 10 Mountain Lion. File:// It's got to be a
capital F, doesn't it?
Yeah, capital F. Capital F, I-L-E, ://
And apparently it depends on the speed at which you type it. And also, basically, it's any system kind of text entry. So, like, you can type it in TextPad, or you can type it in, like, the search or location bar in Safari, or...
I understand that if you type it into iMessage, you will no longer be able to open iMessage.
Yeah, there's a few things like that where you have to go, and then because once you've typed it, it ends up in, like, a message history, or like if you type it in the terminal shell, it can end up in your bash history. You have to then go and get rid of those things from your history.
Yeah.
You have to go and delete the files that have got them in there, because every time it reads the files, it shits itself again.
Yeah. Some programs are immune, for instance, GIMP. And the shell, they are apparently sanitizing this input. But most programs like Safari and Searchlight, they just die.
It's probably not that they're sanitizing the input. It's probably just that they're not processing it through whatever part of the, you know, UI toolkit is broken.
Yeah.
GIMP, for example, because it's a, you know, what's the word? GNOME or KDE application or whatever it is. It's, you know, it's not based on the standard macOS Cocoa toolkit or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And probably the shell, because it's a shell.
Yeah.
Not the other thing.
So it's Waitangi Day when we're recording this. It's tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to a day off. I don't know if you get a day off because you've got your...
I do get a day off.
You've got your crazy schedule that you work to. That HP advertorial, did you get paid, or just the what's it called? Cult of the Dead Cow. What's that site called?
Creative Cow.
Creative Cow.
I didn't get paid for that.
Did they write that last paragraph?
No, all of that is stuff that I said, and I did get the opportunity to preview and approve it. What was the last thing I said?
You actually wrote that last paragraph. You basically,
I didn't write it. Basically, what happened is I spent about an hour and a half on the phone with the guy, and he wrote it and sent it to me for correction and approval.
Oh, I see.
He gave me the option of writing it, but I was like,
Paragraph basically said that no one else makes workstations and HP's cock tastes great.
No, what it said was that... And what I basically said was that in my experience, I've used HP workstations and I've used Mac workstations, and I don't trust Macs anymore. I did say that HP weren't the only ones who make the workstations, but they're the only ones that I have experience with and will continue to use.
Yeah, and HP's cock tastes delicious.
It does. They make really fucking good computers. In fact, apparently the Z620 or something is like the fastest workstation computer available.
This thing with the Mac Pros, exactly. I mean, they really are discontinuing it, aren't they?
Well, a lot of people believe they're not.
Isn't it no longer available in Europe?
So from the 1st of March, it won't be available in Europe anymore, the Mac Pro, because it doesn't meet certain emissions requirements about its power. But it's not like this snuck up on them. They've known about it for years.
Yeah.
And when they redesigned, but they didn't redesign. When they stuck a new processor in the Mac Pro last year, that was their opportunity, I suppose, to, you know, fix it, and they didn't.
Yeah.
And if they were going to launch a new Mac Pro, you'd think, you know, by the 1st of March would be a good target for that, so that you could continue selling the fucking thing in Europe, which is, you know, half the world or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the EU will not allow sales. Essentially, they can sell remaining stock,
yeah.
But they can't sell new stock.
I think that Apple is sure to release a new model. I think that they have to, because, I mean...
Here's the reason why I don't think they will.
Yeah.
The market is ridiculously niche for something that is the Mac Pro. The number of people who need anything that the Mac Pro has to offer is so niche. And I don't think Apple... Frankly, I don't think Apple's interested in anything that doesn't sell literally millions of units.
Yeah.
And I don't think they'll sell millions of units.
So I know that some editors use iMacs. Are they good enough for editors?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For most things, yes, absolutely. They've got a good processor.
Yeah.
They've got an okay graphics card. Mm. But the problem, the place where it falls down, is you can't really put a new graphics card. You can't really put a second graphics card in there.
Right. You should be able to do that with Thunderbolt, shouldn't you?
No, because Thunderbolt, you can't support a graphics card with Thunderbolt.
I thought you could have an external graphics card with Thunderbolt.
No, you cannot, because Thunderbolt is essentially a four-way PCI lane, which is not enough for a graphics card. There are some weird sort of workaround kind of things, but as yet, you cannot just like get a Thunderbolt chassis and stick a graphics card in it. Can't be done.
Okay.
So if you need that extra GPU power, you need a box that you can stick more GPUs in. If you need to have like a special, some sort of special Ethernet card, you could probably do that over Thunderbolt. If you need to have other cards inside the computer, a Red Rocket card, if you're using Red Epic cameras, for example, you can't in an iMac.
Yeah.
You can in a Z800 or a Dell workstation or whatever, but not in an iMac. But that's the thing. That those are the only, you know, those are the only sort of circumstances where an iMac's not going to cut the mustard.
Yeah.
So I think there'll be a new Mac Mini perhaps, which has some sort of slightly more grunty features to it. Perhaps maybe extra Thunderbolt port, or the option to put more RAM in it or something. You know, like a higher end Mac Mini. But I don't think there'll be another Mac Pro. I don't think there's enough demand for it. At least from Apple's perspective.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's all right. I don't like iOS 10 very much, so, I was never...
I don't care either, but some people in my industry are very attached.
Yeah.
If it comes to a point where it's finally announced that Apple actually is definitely killing the Mac Pro, they may go into a dark place for a few weeks.
Yeah, I hope they can still get Windows 7 when that happens and don't have to go to Windows 8, because, God, that'd be a shock. I should do a different... Oh, God, no, but how am I going to find my stories with these tiny little titles? Oh, God, I've got a friggin' Microsoft story, but I don't know which tab it's in. Surface, which apparently is a Microsoft product. I've never heard of it. Surface, off to a slow start, but Microsoft will reveal sales figures eventually.
Oh, that's good, eventually.
Rumors are that Microsoft built between 3 and 5 million Surface RT tablets and have shipped less than 1 million, apparently. And that's not sales.
That's shipped.
Reaction to the company's Surface with Windows RT tablet, this is according to IDC's Ryan Reith, the reaction was muted at best. They've pumped millions into an advertising campaign for Windows 8 and the new tablets, and no one's very interested.
It's quite a good advertising campaign, though, isn't it? I think from memory the ads are quite good. Interesting.
The click-clack.
Better than some of them. Yeah, no, I don't know. The only person I know who has a Surface, I'd never see him use it. I'm sure he does sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he said something bad about Windows RT, though. I can't remember what it was.
I know one person who has a Surface, and he really likes it. And he uses it all the time. So there's that. He uses Windows now. I think it was originally about games that he moved to Windows PCs, and then he likes Windows 8. He's one of those people that likes Windows 8. I don't understand. How do you like Windows 8?
I don't know, I haven't really used it, but I think Windows 8 has things to like. It's just, I don't know, it just seems like an unnecessary step in many ways, but this is we've had this discussion, probably. But yeah, there's just, they seem like they've tried to make one application, one system that works for touch and, mouse use, and it simply doesn't.
Yeah.
Because they're quite different. There's a thing called the animated... I'm going to say animated Windows 8 review. It's not review, it's something else. But if you search for animated Windows 8 review on YouTube, you'll find it.
It's brilliant. It's so good.
Yeah, but the thing that people... So people like Ben and Keith, who, you know, Mark and Metro, who do Windows 8 stuff.
Because they get paid to.
Yeah, yeah, but then, you know, so that's their business. It's their stuff. But they just shoot down the little issues. They shoot down the, oh, well, you should, you know, just click on this and just click on this.
It's holding it wrong.
Yeah, that's so frustrating because I'm like, if you really care about this and you do, you should, you know, you don't just get all reactionary about it. Actually look at the thing and see the bigger picture about what's being said.
Don't be immediately dismissive.
My work is largely dependent. My income and livelihood is largely dependent on, you know, Avid producing an editing product that people like to use.
Yeah.
So when they do dumb shit, I'm, you know, the first person to stand up and say they're doing dumb shit because I want them to be good. I don't want to stand up behind them and say, oh, no, that's a good thing they're doing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, yeah, anyway, so that's what I think that's what people should be doing with Windows 8 who really care about it.
Yeah.
Moving on. 5 minutes to go.
What? There's 14 minutes to go.
I thought that was the 5-minute warning. God help me.
It was the 15-minute warning. What would you do if your company didn't give you a raise, Dylan?
Just continue working there and grumble quietly.
44-year-old Edward Sobolewski decided to stick it to his employer, a British company called Frost & Sullivan, by systematically destroying its computer equipment with caustic cleaning fluids over the course of 3 years. He was eventually caught spraying Easy Off BAM into computer grills and even pouring entire bottles into server equipment after the company installed security cameras. He caused £32,000 in damages, and I'll leave it as an exercise for the listener to translate that into real money, between 2009 and 2012, and was ordered to repay £10,000. I don't know how £10,000 equates to £32,000, but he also
What did you say, Easy Off BAM?
Easy Off BAM.
Was this a New Zealand article?
No. The stuff he was spraying was something called Sillet Bang, which apparently
It's the same product.
Yeah.
But you... Yeah, okay.
He was sentenced to 8 months in jail as well. He explained that he was suffering from depression after being declined the pay increase, but admitted his wrongdoing and offered to pay for the damage he caused. But he didn't. £10,000 is not £32,000.
No, it's a bit different. But, you know, depreciation and all that. Sillet Bang, there's an ad in the UK for Sillet Bang. And it's apparently, you know, it's like one of those ads that seeps into the consciousness. There's a remix of it.
Should I play it or will
you
I
should.
Regret it?
Just,
all right. Spin me round, round, baby, right round. Is it going to be like that? Is it going to be like meat spin?
Hope it's the right one.
Barry Scott here asking whether you have problems with limescale, rust, ground in dirt. They're a challenge for some household cleaners, but not for Sillet Bang. Sillet Bang, Sillet Bang, Sillet, Sillet, Sillet Bang, Sillet Bang.
Sillet Bang, Sillet, Sillet, Sillet Bang.
Sillet Bang, Sillet Bang, Sillet, Sillet, Sillet Bang, Sillet Bang, Sillet Bang, Sillet, 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 Sillet Bang. Limescale, rust, ground in dirt.
Do you see where this is going?
I think that's probably plenty.
On an unrelated note, I'll send you another link to look at later, which is... did you watch the UK MasterChef?
I don't know. I can never remember.
The man known as America's deadliest sniper,
what just happened?
Chris Kyle, was shot dead at
God,
Texas
that's me.
Gun range on
which
Saturday
tab?
During a shooting outing with a...
There it is. That's Stuff's auto-playing video. Okay, well, I'll do that as the next story.
I hate
story.
That. Your mouse touches it and it's like, okay, I'll play now.
So former Navy SEAL and American sniper with a kill count apparently of like 160 claimed kills, 160 confirmed kills, and a claimed 255 snipe kills during the Iraq War. He was so feared by the insurgents that they put an $80,000 bounty on his head, and they nicknamed him the Devil of Ramadi, apparently. His greatest achievement, which is, this, I don't know, is this achieving something? It's not very creative. Was reported to being a kill from 1.9 kilometres. And he was at a gun range with a friend of his, and he was shot dead.
Oh, he was actually at a range? I thought it was in his home.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. War veteran. And, at a,
who shot him?
A man called Eddie Ray Ruth.
Why?
Good question. He was disgruntled? I don't know.
God, if only there was a good guy with a gun.
Should I? Yeah, guns are so hard to come by on gun ranges. Yeah, you've got to wonder if
that. You know, there's that. The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
I've heard that the only thing that stops a bad guy is a good guy with a hatchet.
So there was a there was another thing that happened shortly after the whole shooting craziness in the States. It was a gun blogger named Keith Ratcliffe, who was FPS Russia,
yeah,
from YouTube.
No,
was also was
no,
also
no, no.
Found dead.
No. He was the creator and producer of it, but he's not the host of it.
Right, sorry. Yeah. He was also found dead in his home with a single gunshot wounded. Apparently, the gun that killed him wasn't in the room. So,
yeah,
I don't know any more than that. I'm sure it's probably more information than there used to be. Gun, I remember that.
The thing is that guns kill people. That's their job. Hammers drive in nails, and sometimes can be used for killing people. Guns, not so good at driving in nails, only for killing people.
That's not true. I'm pretty sure if we looked on YouTube, we could find a video of someone driving in a nail with a gun. Have you seen? Actually, no. You know what? Have you ever used a Ramset gun?
No, I haven't.
Really fucking good for driving in nails. Using a cartridge.
It's not a nail gun is not a gun.
No, this is a gun. It has a powder cartridge in it, a 22 caliber powder cartridge.
But it's not a gun.
It shoots a nail.
But it's not a gun.
It's a gun.
It's not a gun.
It's a gun. Gun enough. It's a gun designed for driving in nails. So fuck you and your hammer argument.
if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything starts to look like a hippie.
Yeah.
I may have said that last year, and it's not even my own joke. So now everyone knows that the sexual revolution came about in the 1960s. And why was that, Dylan? Why did that happen then?
The pill.
Well, that's what people long thought, but it's possible. Apparently, the sexual revolution actually started in the 1940s and 50s.
When people discovered sex.
When people discovered penicillin.
Oh, right, for the
for
old
syphilis.
Syphilis, yeah.
Syphilis. Sibilance. Syphilis.
Syphilis.
And so it's possible that antibiotics spurred the sexual revolution. And so, you know, there's let's call them right-wing Bible thugs who are against women being able to control their fertility. They perhaps should be paying more attention to controlling antibiotics. Because the devil.
I'm going to send you a link. Do you know what the link is that I'm going to send you? No, I'll find it.
No, I don't. I guess I'll know in a minute. Will I regret
it? I'll send you one link, but that's not the one I wanted to. Here you go.
So we finally got an illegal downloader.
Yeah.
Copyright scoff law in front of the copyright tribunal, and the book was thrown at her.
And when you say in front of, the latest link I just sent you is the one I was going to send you about birth control. Not actually in front of the Copyright Tribunal, because she was the first one who didn't opt for... The ones who have opted for a hearing in front of the tribunal have had their cases dropped. She was the one who was... Or he? Was it, do we know if it's a she or
I
he?
Thought it was a woman.
So do I. I think it is. She was the one who... The first one, I guess, who opted to allow their case to be heard in writing.
She was unnamed.
Yeah. $616, I believe, was the fine for three infringements,
and that was composed. Apparently, the fine for the copyright infringement was about $6, and all the rest of it was in fees,
costs, and fees, yes.
and such. So there you go.
RIAA or RANZ have
as if there's
set a daring precedent.
And they say that they're happy with the result, but I don't know. I don't know how they can.
So they have spent, I guess, if they're happy with the $616 return, they can't have spent very much on the enforcement activity so far.
I've heard they spent $250,000 to get that $617.
Whose money do you think they're spending?
I would say that it was probably pee money.
Pee monies.
Yep. Money. And split ends.
Peas money.
Yeah, peas money. Normally, we have to bleep out pee money for some reason.
So I sent you a link to a radio talk show host discussing issues of birth control.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to get some evidence from certain doctors and scientists that have done research on women's wombs and after they've gone through the surgery, and they've compared the wombs of women who were on the birth control pill versus those who were not on the birth control pill, and they have found that with women who are on the birth control pill, there are these little tiny fetuses, these little babies that are embedded into the womb. They're just like dead babies. They're on the inside of the womb. And these wombs of women who have been on the birth control pill effectively have become graveyards for lots and lots of little babies.
We've actually heard on both sides of that. We're researching that and want to make sure that we speak correctly to that in our second film. But we have medical advice on both sides of the table there, so we want to make sure that we communicate that properly.
It would seem, and I realize that people are a little split on what are all the effects of the birth control pill, but it would seem that there's a tremendous risk in the use of it for the life of children.
What? What?
So,
I'm so happy right now. That guy, he does. I mean, I'm just for the sake of argument, let's say that. I'm gonna divide people into two groups. I'm gonna say that we are the good guys on the side of right, and he is evil, and he's on the side of darkness. Now, I mean, obviously these names are pretty neutral, so I mean I'm not loading things up here at all. And this evil, dark prick, he is doing such a service for the forces of good by spewing that sort of rubbish, because the sort of people who will believe that don't really matter.
It's just so insane.
Possibly thousands of little dead babies. Dylan, dead babies. Dylan, in your womb. Maybe hundreds. Maybe dozens. But possibly thousands. Dylan, none of that's true. None of that's true. Certain doctors, he says. Certain doctors. And the other chap, obviously, I mean, he must have been... He had a lot of self-control. We've got advice on both sides of that, and we don't really want to speak out of turn.
Hang on a second. Let's be fair. The other guy involved goes on to say afterwards, it starts with men and women fighting and not being happy with the role that God put them in, that he laid out in Genesis. Mm. So whenever you seek to desire, when a woman seeks to desire the men's role and they lose the part and idea with of what children does, that's what it says, I'm reading the transcript, not just for the kingdom and not just for their family, but what it does for their gender role. It's like, you know, he's no better.
Yes.
But clearly he wasn't quite going to get on board with that.
Yeah. What a nutbag. Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so amazing.
Unfortunately, a story that I really want to read.
Actually, the guy he's interviewing is Kevin Peoples, who is the maker of a documentary called Birth Control, anti-contraception documentary called Birth Control, How Did We Get Here?
Yeah. The danger of the pill is that it can sometimes, in some people, it can cause blood clots.
Yeah, there's
some of the pills. Some of the pills can do that.
Just like any medication has side effects.
Aspirin thins the blood. It can lead to strokes in some people, but in other people, it can save them for decades from having a heart attack, which will kill them.
Paracetamol, which I'm taking at the moment, leads to long-lasting liver raging damage. Erections.
No, profound liver damage from taking not very much paracetamol. You'd be surprised.
Oh, not the paracetamol that's doing that?
You have priapism, do you?
Back to the drawing board.
Have you had your epididymis snipped yet?
No, I haven't yet.
I mean, your vas deferens.
Although I have enrolled, seeing as we've moved house, I've enrolled in a new GP in the new medical center, and one of the doctors at that medical center performs them. So I imagine I'll be seeing him sometime in the next few months.
Am I still going to be there? I really want to be there.
We can discuss that.
Yeah, we can discuss that.
It can be a Discourse special event.
Hi.
All right, I like the sound of that. Maybe we could do it at the Discourse barbecue. Oh. That's not going to happen.
It is totally going to happen.
Three.
I'm excited for you to hear what's about to happen in the ha-ha-ha-ha. You'll see.
One.
Join us next week, and we'll probably keep talking right after the thing.
You're listening to the Goodbye. Weekly show on... Sorry. With course.
All right, we're using that one.
That's right. And it only took me like 2 years or something. But I fixed the sudden cutoff, which the podcast listeners never heard.
Oh.
But the stream listeners probably were disappointed by every week.
I was totally built up for something much more exciting than that. I'm really disappointed.
No, that's it.
Oh, I feel heartbroken.
Don't take this away from me. I'm very proud of myself for taking the
wonderful work, Morgan. Very, very well done.
The 25 seconds it took to re-output that with no changes, but just not cutting off the end. Yeah. What a dickhead I turned out to be. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was Discourse episode 401.
4.01. Season 4. We've started.
So what episode number are we at in total now, do you think? Is that like...
You bastard.
6 or something? Do we figure it out? I can't even remember.
You bastard.
Oh my god, what a cock.
Oh my god. Okay, season 1, 27 episodes. I hope you're writing this down.
Hang on, sorry, wait. Let me just... Okay, so 27,
yep,
or less.
There was 0 to 26 in season 1.
Yeah, okay, so 27 episodes
season
in season
1. Season 2, there was 0 to 26 again.
So plus 27, so that's 54.
Season 3, there was 0 to 38.
So that's 39 episodes.
Fuck, we're so consistent.
So we're at 93, so this should be episode 94 that you're listening to.
Right.
We're listening to, has finished
now. So 407?
So what?
407 is
407, so that will be on, assuming the record day is the same, that would be the 12, 19, so fucking hell. What? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
The 5th of March?
6th. No, that's not right. What?
Is that not right? Is it the 12th?
12th.
12th.
Yeah, so around that time. So we'll have a special 20th anniversary party. No, 100th episode.
Or is it the 19th?
I don't know. Fuck. Anyway, so sometime around the middle of March is the 100th episode.
Oh, boy! And that'll be, is that where we're going to call an end to the charade?
Oh, good idea.
Hmm.
Come up with the Discourse yearly show.
I don't want to commit to anything so strenuous as a yearly show. Well, we could do the just the election show, because, God, that election show was so much fun. Because, I mean, all I had to do was come in, sit down, and drink, and then stand up and watch you guys pack everything up and then leave. That was pretty much all I had to do.
It was amazeballs.
That was brilliant. Oh man, that election show was so much fun.
I think we could probably manage that again.
I think we've got to do it again. Do you think we could do it on an actual channel that's broadcast on Freeview or something?
We could try for Triangle again, or whatever they're called now.
But Dickhead will be doing Bomber Bradbury will be doing a...
We could talk to Choice. Maybe they could do it.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, well, we've got about 2 years.
That will mean that we definitely don't do an Urban Dictionary Word of the Week, because wolf bagging, that ruined the show for many people, and they will never listen again.
Oh, well.
Yeah, oh, well. All right, that's it. Oh, do you want to talk about anything else?
No, I'm done.
All right, thank you. Goodbye. See you next week. Oh no, I push a button usually when I say that. I go,
Fish and chips, fish and chips.
Sorry,
and chips.
The show is cancelled. Beep.